Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was much younger and in high school, I seem to remember a lot of discussions about a utopia. A utopia is a place where everything is perfect. A utopia is a world where there's nothing that's wrong. Everything is absolutely impeccable. So I want you to think about for a minute or two, if you were to design a utopia, what kind of things would you think about? What kind of things would you include? As I thought about that, I thought you might not include any mass shootings. There might be robots who do all of our housework. The climate in a utopia would be perfect all the time, all year long. Some of you might decry the presence of sports in your utopia. Maybe you wouldn't want to have any sports at all. There would be perhaps a cure for every disease in your utopia. Maybe even, just maybe, things would be so perfect that we would not need politicians or even a government. In your utopia, your income would be exactly equivalent to your expenses during that week. In your utopia, there might be unhampered love by and for everyone. There are lots of stories that people have written about identifying what their utopia would be like. I came across one that I don't particularly like, but I think it helps to explain where I'm going with these texts. It was the story of a young lady who had been apparently in a terrible relationship. And she wrote that in her ideal utopia, all of the men would be shipped to Alaska. Maybe some of you think that's a good idea, I don't know. But then she went on, and this is what really bothered me. She said, all newborn baby boys would be immediately ripped from their mother's arms and also sent to Alaska to be raised by the men who were more or less imprisoned there. What a sad illustration of the brokenness of this world. You see, that story explains exactly why a utopia will never work, because utopias have ideas that sound good, to each according to his need, from each according to his ability. That's a good idea if it were a perfect world. But utopian societies will ultimately fail because they don't take into account human brokenness. In that human brokenness, the strong steal or take from the weak, the rich take from the poor, the influential take advantage of the disadvantaged. Now let's think about or remember our Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah. Listen to this utopia, or at least it sounds like one. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The cow and the bear will graze together, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. Does that not sound like a utopia? I think it does. It's certainly not a clear description of the world that we live in today. So you might have some questions as you heard those words. So what is this shoot from the stump of Jesse anyway? And besides that, who is Jesse? Well, the shoot that Isaiah speaks of is clearly a person because he says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And he goes on describing this person. He says, this person will have wisdom and understanding, the implication being wisdom and understanding to lead. This person will have counsel and might to carry out wise plans. This person will have knowledge and fear of the Lord. Contrary to the way that we humans live in rebellion against God, this shoot of Jesse will be perfect in his life, associated or living his faith life faithful to God. That sounds like a utopia. You see, Isaiah is writing about the coming Messiah, but it's 700 years before Christ is actually born. Jesus is that shoot of Jesse to which he refers. Jesse is the father of David. Jesus is the lineage of David, as we hear in the Christmas readings. Isaiah envisions this Messiah, this root of Jesse, doing some other things very specifically as well. Isaiah says, this Messiah shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Unlike our human nature, which looks at what it sees and what it hears to make a decision, this Messiah will judge with 100% accuracy, because what we hear and what we see is not always 100% true. Unlike our current judicial system, where money can buy innocence for the guilty, or where legal maneuvers can be used and deceitful witnesses can be used to convict innocent people, Isaiah says this about this Messiah. He says, this Messiah will judge righteously and fairly. Everyone will be judged equally and objectively. In Isaiah's utopia, this Messiah will judge by what is known for certain, and he will judge everyone fairly, because this Messiah will judge people by what is in their hearts. But not everything that this Messiah is going to do is going to be all sweetness and loving. Isaiah goes on to say, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. This Messiah will also judge the wicked and the unbelievers, and he will declare them guilty of their sinfulness, and he will send them off to eternal damnation. This Messiah will settle the score and ensure that justice is finally done, that those who have taken advantage of others will not be able to weasel out of things when this judge shows up. Jesus, this righteous judge, will change this creaking and groaning and broken world, and he will transform it into the utopia that Isaiah describes in our text for today. That will be a description of heaven that will come on the last day. In that utopia, in the restored creation, animal predators will no longer hunt, and animal prey will no longer fear. The poisonous will no longer afflict. Nation will not rise up against nation. This utopia, this heaven that's coming, will be restored, will be the restored Garden of Eden. And how and why will all this happen? The answer to that question is summed up in verse 9 of an Old Testament reading. It will happen because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like waters cover the sea. In the fall at the Garden of Eden, there was woven into this society of this current world a brokenness that we see in every death, a brokenness that we see in every disease, a brokenness that we see in every hate-filled word, a brokenness that we see in every broken heart. The injustice and the predatory nature of this world are the symptoms you see of a greater problem. The problem is this current world denies its creator. It denies God as its rightful Lord. This current world is in rebellion. And that includes each of us. Our rebellion causes immeasurable heartache and pain in this world. The injustice and the bloodiness of the nature of the two things that we just mentioned, there are lots of other examples of that brokenness as well. Some of those are weeds. Some of those are divorce. Some of those are loneliness and drug addiction and poverty, just to name a couple examples of the brokenness of this world. But you see, Isaiah sees the God rewriting his principles into this new kingdom, the kingdom that will come into this heaven that we look forward to. In that place of perfection, in the new world, God promises we won't want to rebel anymore. Sin will look to us like foolishness. We won't even consider it as an option. In this new world, one animal will not kill another animal for food. In God's holy place, on his mountain, in his new creation, hunting and killing will just not happen. That, of course, means that there needs to be a complete change, a complete rewriting of what is in our heart. It will be a rewiring of how we will live in that time. It will be a change. And today we kind of decry change. I frequently hear people say, "I just wish it were like it were a few decades ago." We long for the good old days of some past event in our lives, or perhaps some past season in our lives. But of this new world in which Isaiah speaks, God is going to have to make some major changes within each of us. He will shine a light into the deepest and darkest corners of our hearts and drive out the darkness that he finds there. We, on the other hand, tend to think, well, during this penitent season of Advent, God will just have to do a little bit of trimming around the outside to get us ready to live in eternity in heaven. But not so much. You see, God has some deep and profound changes that he needs to make for us and for this whole world in which we live. We need to change the way we relate to others. We need to change this current creation, which will be transformed. And so, therefore, as we live in this life, as we face the hardships and challenges of this world, we see that there is hope. Isaiah speaks of that hope today in what we might think of as a utopia. There is that hope that God is coming and he's going to fix this broken world. He's going to make it once again as it was intended. And how will that be? We are assured of that in our epistle lesson for today. For whatever reason, Paul says, for whatever reason was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And indeed, it is hope that we have. Hope in what we hear from Isaiah describing what heaven will be like. Today we have the hope of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and the promise of hope of eternal life keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.